Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Ches. We are holding on Kuf Zayin and Beis. We are at the Mishnah. Today's shir is once again sponsored by David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and by Menachem Gelbtach L'Zecher Nishmas Menachem Mendel Ben Mordechai. We thank both sponsors again very, very much for the sponsorship, and Dr. Lander should have continued nachas from his wife and children, and the neshama of Menachem Mendel Ben Mordechai should have an aliyah. We are holding again at the Mishnah on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, and today's daf is just such a yisodistik daf. They spend months and months learning it in yeshivos when it comes to getting smicha, learning Yisur v'heter, basu b'chalav, smichas chaver. Spent a month learning this daf. So first we're going to talk about having meat and dairy in the same bag and on the same table, and what's required if you have one person eating meat and another person eating dairy at the same table. Then the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Ches Amud Aleph is going to talk about what happens when a drop of milk falls into a meat pot, what happens to the chaticha that it falls on, what happens to the rest of the pot, and the Gemara is going to talk about the notion of tam ki ikr, the idea when tam of an isser is in something, that it's as if the isser itself is there. Is that a din d'oraisa by basa b'chalav, by other isurim in the Torah? The Gemara is going to talk about the notion of efshal l'sochto. Is efshal l'sochto asur, efshal l'sochto mutar? Let's say you have the tam of isser, but it can be extracted out of the item that it had fallen in. Do you still say that the original item that had fallen in remains asur, even though you've already extracted the tam of isser out of the item? So efshal l'sochto is obviously very much connected to the notion of chaticha na'asis nevela, that when once the chaticha becomes asur, we view the entire thing as if it's the nevela. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about what happens if you have a chatzi zayis of basar and a chatzi zayis of chalav. Do they combine with each other to make up a full shir kazayis, both with regard to the yisur bishul basar b'chalav, as well as with regard to the yisur of achilas basar b'chalav? And then at the very end, going into tomorrow's daf, we can get back to the notion of efshal l'sochto and how that's really a machlokas tanaim. So let's begin Mishnah on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, Tzor adam basar gvina b'mitpach ha-sachas u'bavad shli nogin zabazeh. You can put meat and cheese in the same bag as long as they don't touch each other, because if they touch each other, then you're not allowed to eat them without rinsing them off first, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shnei achsana in ochen al shulchan echad, zeh basar v'zeh gvina v'im choshin. You can have two guests that come from different places, don't know each other, they're eating at the same table, one of them can eat meat, the other one can be eating cheese, and you don't have to worry that one of them is going to eat from the other one's meal, because they don't know each other. Why would they take from each other? That's something that only people who are very comfortable with each other would do, to take off of each other's plates. We said you're not allowed to be mala basar gvina al shulchan echad. Yeah, that's if it both belongs to the same person, or it's two people that are very friendly with each other. When you have two total strangers, you could even have basar and gvina on the same table. So says Gemara, v'chinogeas ebzam mayhavi tzorin b'tzorinu. Why is it that we said that a person could be tzorer basar gvina b'mpachas u'bavachli nogin zebazeh, as long as they don't touch each other? Even if they do touch each other, they shouldn't asur each other unless you cook them. These are two cold items, so cold items should have no impact on each other. That's called tzonin b'tzonin. Some rabbi nihi deklipa lo ba'i hadacha mi lo ba'i. Granted that they're not boleya from each other, and therefore you don't have to remove a kedei klipa, which we're going to see. Kedei klipa, the idea of kedei klipa is not when you cook two items together. If you mamish cook two items together, then it's more than a kedei klipa. Then the tam goes throughout the entire item. But the idea of kedei klipa is that if you have one item that's hot, one item that's cold, and they come in contact with each other, depending, tasa gavar, ila gavar, okay, so that's all sugya. But that there are times where it's not going to be considered a full bishul, but a klipa mihabayi. But you still need to take a klipa because some blios transfer. But when two things are cold and touch each other, there are no blios. But what do you have? Hadacha milobayi. You still need to rinse it off because there could be still some substance, some shamnunis, some moisture from one item that still sticks, adheres to the surface of the other item. So just to clean off the surface, hadacha, that you certainly need to do, and because of that, we don't want you putting these things in the same bag when they're touching each other, because we are afraid that you might forget to do that hadacha. And if you forget to do that hadacha, and there was meat and cheese that were touching each other, so you might eat the meat with some that has some cheese on its surface, and that would be problematic. That's how the Rashba explains, and it would turn out, says the Rashba, that this is only going to be true, this iser of not putting them in the same bag touching each other, is only when the meat is already cooked. Because already cooked meat, people typically eat without rinsing. But if you have basar chai, if you have raw meat, no one eats it without rinsing anyway. And there's no chashash, there's no reason to assume that the person is going to eat it without rinsing it off. Raw meat always gets rinsed, and that's all you need to do in order to make it kosher in this case. So if you were to have raw meat and cheese, you'd be allowed to put them together in the same bag. That's what the Bala Itta writes. That's what the Ravid writes. Other Rishonim as well. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Shneach Zinayin Ochlin Al Shulchan, that both two guests can eat at the same table. One of them eating meat, the other one eating cheese. So Amar Rav Chanan Barami Amar Shmuel Lo Shanu Ela She'in Makirin Ze Ezeh. That's only if they don't know each other. Aval Makirin Ze Ezeh Aser. But if the two guests know each other, they're not allowed to eat on the same table, because we're afraid each one is going to eat off of the other one's plate. Tanya Namiachi, we have a brisa that says just like this, from Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shnei Achsinoim Shinis Archu Lapunduk Echad, if you have two guests that happen to have arrived at the same inn, Zeba Min HaTzafon, Zeba Min HaDarom, one came from the north, the other from the south, they came from totally different locations, Zeba B'Chatichaso, V'Zeba B'Gvinaso, one person came with his little pekala, his little lunch bag that has a pastrami sandwich, and the other came with his cheese blintzes. Ochlin al shulchan echad, ze basar v'zeg vina ve'en choshin. They can each take out their meals and eat them, and they don't have to worry about anything. Below asru ela b'tvisa achas. They only asr if they're eating together to the point where the food is wrapped together. So the Gemara understands that that means that their mom is putting the food together. Tvisa achas al g'daytach. What, is there a possibility that they're eating mamish, basar and gvina together? That's basar b'chalav, meaning that's not a takan unless they come to Tzvisa Achas, means they're eating it together. Now, Elke'ein Tzvisa Achas. What the Braisa means to say is that they're not allowed to eat Basar and Gvina on the same table, on the same placemat, without any hefsik between them. But if each one eats on a separate placemat, or they put some sort of hecker between them, then they're allowed to eat Al Shulchan Echad, even though one is eating meat and the other one is eating dairy, because the hecker is enough that they're not going to come to eat from one from the other. So that's enough to deter them or remind them not to take off of each other's plates. Yeah, but what happens if you have two people who know each other very well, but they would never share with each other? They're very makpid about each other. Do you say that since they know each other very well, they're not allowed to eat on the same table without a hecker, one of them eat the other one dairy? Or do we say that since they are makbid on each other and they would never allow each other to take off each other's plates, they're allowed to eat at the same table because you don't have to worry that they're going to take from each other? Meaning, we spoke about the idea of a makirin ze'ezeh, but what's it really about? Is it really about makirin ze'ezeh, or is it really about the comfort level and the concern that they will actually take from each other? So he said, you can't be mechalik between people who are makbid and people who are not makbid. If they are makirin ze'ezeh, and it's clear that they know each other well, then we have to say it's asr, because people wouldn't be able to necessarily make that chilik. Everyone's going to look and say, oh look, you see the two brothers are allowed to eat at the same table, ze basar ze gvina, and they're going to think it's totally okay, and they're not going to realize that this is a unique brother relationship where they're makbid on each other. What's the expression from? So this is based on a Gemara that appears in Maseches Pesachim Daf Lamed Zayin. The Chachamim made a takana midrabanan that you're not allowed to make tsuros on matzos. You want to have fancy matzos and you want them to have a certain image or picture on it. You draw a Kriyas Yamsuf scene or something on the dough and you bake it in that way. You're not allowed to do that because it takes a while to do that. And if you were to take the time to do that while it was still dough, it very likely would become chametz. But there was this baker named Baitus who had specially made up forms, a dufus that was made up that he could just smack it down on the dough and it would imprint on the dough the picture that he wanted to make. It took a second, it didn't take any time, and then he would bake the matzah. So they asked, okay, can Baitus make matzah samitziar? He said, no, because people are going to say that kol ha'srikin asum srikin Baitus matarim, people aren't going to get that, they're either us or they're mutter. So we have to make it across the board. Now the tour paskins, based on our Gemara, that two people that are makirin zeh are not allowed to have zeh basar zeh gvina, even if they're makpidim zeh al zeh, even if for whatever reason they don't share with each other. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskin, simon peches sif beis, that even if they're makpidim zeh al zeh, sorry, if they're makirin zeh al zeh, you need to have some sort of hacker. And that's pashtus of the Gemara. There's no reason to say otherwise. However, someone says otherwise. The Yam Shel Shlomo in Simon Mem Gimel is quoted by the Nosei Kelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that the fact that the Gemara did not ask, makpirim makirim umakpidim ze al ze mahu. No, the Gemara said, shnei achin umakpidim ze al ze mahu. Why does it say shnei achim and not just stam, any two people who know each other? So you see that it's dafka b'shnei achim that the Gemara raised the suffix, and that's where the Gemara says all brothers are always going to have to be usher, because people aren't going to be able to distinguish between one set of brothers and another. But says the Yam Shel Shlomo, other people who happen to be makirim zeh zeh, even if they are makpidim zeh zeh, then they're not considered to be friendly. They're not considered to be makirim, even though they know each other very well. And then they're allowed to eat without even a hecker in between them. So the Taz rejects this marshal. The Taz on the side of Shulchan Aruch and Simon Peches, because by shnei achin makpidim, you also have a svar lahatir, and nevertheless we ask them because of lo plug. So why would you make a lo plug by brothers and not make a lo plug by makirim? So others might say, no, but the whole din of brothers is that people know that they're brothers. How do I know who you know and who you don't know, that you're makir, you're not makir? Okay, but that's the machlokas between the Yam Shel Shlomo and the Taz. Ask the Gemara Vayta now, ul'taymeich, if you're going to say that you're going to be choshesh by eating meat and dairy, two people eating one meat, one dairy at the same table, because of a similar svara that you have to chameit, to making the matzos ha-metsuyaros, so then we should apply this to all dinim d'rabbanan, not just by having basar and gvin on the same table, which obviously is only a din mid'rabbanan. We should now matzos ha-metsuyaros you're dealing with chashash chimutz. So that's what the Ritva points out, that the Gemara's havamin in asking this question is, I would never have thought to compare matzos to having basar and gvin on the same table. Matzos you're dealing with a potential, with the nisa d'araisa that the chachamim are very strict about, and maybe would say a low plug, but I'm going to say the same thing by a drabanan. Okay, well, once you're going to tell me that I'm going to say the same thing by a drabanan, let's carry this over to other dinim drabanan. Hadam Rabbi Yassi Am Rabbi Yochanan. That was Rabbi Yassi Am Rabbi Yochanan, that even though Chachamim do not allow one to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, and what's the reason the Chacham Master doing laundry on Chol HaMoed? Because we're afraid that people will delay their laundry day until Chol HaMoed when they have time, and therefore they're not going to do their laundry before Yantif, and they're not going to come into Yantif with proper respect, with properly cleaned laundry. So let's say that whole reason doesn't apply. You have someone that only owns one beged, he should be allowed to be mechabes on Chol HaMoed, because even if he is mechabes on Erev Yantif, very often he'll need to be mechabes again on Chol HaMoed, because he doesn't have another beged to change into. So we should aser over there as well, because people don't know that he only has cholik echad. How are people supposed to know what's in his wardrobe? Yomru, people should say, kol ha'srikin asurin, l'srikin baitus mutarin. Well, we should say, no, it's still aser, because no one's going to know what he has and what he doesn't have. So from the fact that that we aren't concerned, and that someone has only cholik echad is allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, you see that we don't say such a svara that there's a low plug when it comes to Yisurim D'Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, no, we don't say such a story when it comes to laundry, because Hasam Ha'amar Marbar Avashi Ezura Mochiach Alav. belt is mochiach that he only has one beged. Because most people, when they are mechabes one beged, they do it without the belt because they move that belt to the other beged that they're going to put on in the meantime. But a guy who only has one chaluk, he's going to be mechabes it with the chagura. So no one is going to be confused and say, oh, why is this guy allowed to do laundry? Everyone realizes why this guy is allowed to do laundry. Nebuch is right there on the beged. You see the chagura, you see the belt, and once you see that the belt is there, ezura mochiach alav, everyone's going to realize that that person is in a different situation. Okay, new Mishnah. Kivas chalav shenafal al chaticha. You have a drop of milk that falls on a piece of meat that's in a boiling, uncovered pot. Why do I say uncovered? Because we're going to see that if the pot is covered, then it's ki'ilu, the whole thing has been mixed together. It falls on a single piece of meat that is in the pot, and the assumption according to Rashi is that it doesn't matter whether that chaticha that it fell on is entirely chutz l'rotav, it's entirely outside of the sauce of the pot, meaning it's perched up on another piece of meat that's partially in the rotav, partially out, and this piece of meat that the challah fell is entirely out of the rotav, or even if, according to Rashi at least, this piece of meat that it fell on is partially in the rotav and partially out of the rotav, but the challah fell on the part that's out of the rotav. But the bottom line is, this challah fell on a piece of meat, but it did not fall into the entire stew. It just fell onto this one piece of meat. So, im yesh babinosin tam, bosachaticha, asr. If that challah is enough challah to give time into that chaticha, then you're not allowed to eat that entire chaticha, because that entire chaticha becomes aser from the chalav that it has now absorbed. The rest of the rotav and the rest of the chatichos are mitzdarif to be mevatel. But near a sekedera, if you then mix the pot right after, meaning the tipa falls before it ever had a chance to put tam into that initial chaticha that it fell into, let's say you're stirring a pot, and as you're stirring the pot, a drop of milk falls on one of the pieces, but you keep on stirring, you've just been stirring the whole time, then you don't look at the one chaticha that it fell on and try to measure, do I have shishim in this one chaticha keneged the chalav? No, then im yesh pabinosin tam ba'osa kadeira aser. Then you look at the entire pot, the gravy and the meat and everything, the entire volume of the pot. If there's 60 times the amount of milk that fell in, it's all going to be mutter. If there isn't 60 times the amount of milk that fell in, then it's going to be aser. So that's the Mishnah. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says the din that you're not allowed to eat a taroves even if you remove the iser itself from the taroves. That din is called tamo velo mamasho. That the tam of an iser can aser even if the mamashos isn't there. Lamashal, what happens? You have a piece of treif of meat falls into your stew, your challah, your chicken soup, whatever. And then you realize, oyvei, that was a giant piece of treif of meat that just fell in. So obviously you see it's right there. After it cooked for a while and you realized it, you pull it out. You pull the piece of meat out. So the actual mamashos of the iser is no longer there. But nevertheless, the tam of the iser remains in that pot. Tamo velo mamasho, bi alma da oraisa. In general, we consider that to be a problem on a d'oraisa level. If in your chalent, in your stew, in your chicken soup, you could still taste that treif of meat, then even though the actual mamashos of meat has been removed, that is an iser d'oraisa. This is what we call tam ki'ikr, that the tam is an iser d'oraisa. If you're going to say that derabanan, the tam ki ikar is only mi derabanan, mi basa b'chalav, my time lo garminan. Why would it only be derabanan? Shouldn't we learn it from a memetzinu, from basa b'chalav, that it should be da'oraisa? So because by basa b'chalav, that's certainly the case, that if they're cooked together, even if you remove one of them afterwards, it's still going to be also. You cook a piece of cheese onto a hamburger, and then you scrape the cheese off of the hamburger, you remove the cheese from the hamburger, it's still basar b'chalav. On a d'oraisa level, the basar remains basar b'chalav. So we should learn from there that the same is true when nevela gets cooked with a hamburger and you remove the nevela, that it should still be asr mi d'oraisa. So it says, oh, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me I can't learn from basar b'chalav. The chiddushu, because basar b'chalav is a chiddush, and you can't learn from a chiddush, meaning the general assumption is kolat Torah kula is in your nechad, and that you can learn from one place to another because the entire Torah generally follows the same basic klalim. So if the Torah says something on you, says a halacha in two places, then we say that's shneksim rabban kechad ein melamdin. We assume that the Torah is listing the exceptions. But since most halachas are comparable to each other, at least within each category of halacha, within Isser v'Heter, within Tum and Tara, within Dine Mamanus, they basically follow the same normal rules. So if the Torah reveals a halacha in one place, we're allowed to apply it, Mematzinu, to all the other places in the Torah as well. But what if you have something that's clearly a yotzei min haklal? You have something that is clearly a davar hasoser es haklal. Chiddush means, now a lot of people misunderstand, chiddush means something I wouldn't have known on my own. None of the Torah would we have known, okay, I probably would have figured out not to kill somebody. Probably would have figured out not to steal. That just seems wrong. But what I have known on my own, that on 7 days of the year, I'm supposed to take a citron. I never would have even heard of a citron. It never would have been available in the... Right, then I'm supposed to take dalmin and that. No, shatnis. I'm supposed to be. The whole thing is a chiddush. Kol haTorah kula is a chiddush. No, the chiddush means that it's something that's so serious a klal that even given the normal rules, this one breaks the normal rules. The whole idea of Rashi explains this in Eretz Tzvi. The whole idea of Mematzinu is that Kol haTorah kula follows the same basic rules. So if the Torah tells me halacha here, so that rule applies everywhere else. But when you have something that you clearly recognize is a davar asoser as a klal, so it's obviously not part of the normal rules and therefore cannot be applied to everywhere else. So I know you're going to tell me that I can't learn from basar b'chalav to other isurim because basar b'chalav is a chiddush and therefore you can't learn it to shari isurim. What makes it a chiddush? What's the chiddush of basar b'chalav? So Rashi writes that the chiddush is that you have two things that are both mutter and somehow mutter plus mutter equals aser. See, if I were to take a piece of chicken that's mutter and a piece of meat that's mutter, I can make turducken, and that's perfectly fine, assuming turkey is kosher. I could combine all sorts of different kosher foods, and that's totally fine, and no isser happens. Comes basar b'chalav, I take kosher meat, kosher cheese, put them together, and now I have an isser. That's a chiddush. That's a davar hasoser saklal. Tosfos points out that the Gemara in Pesachim had in Memdalar and Beis thinks to say that the chiddush of basar b'chalav is that even though they're both heter, when they get cooked together, they become asr, and the Gemara rejects that as a possibility, because the Gemara says that is not a chiddush. We have that elsewhere as well. That's the whole issur of kilayim. You have perfectly kosher to wear linen and perfectly kosher to wear wool, and then you wind them together and you make and you weave them together and you make a beged, and now you have shatness. So Tosfos instead quotes the maskana of the Gemara over there that the chiddush of basar b'chalav is that you could soak basar in chalav all day long, and it will not become asr on a daraisa level because you didn't do bishul. But now you cook it for 2 minutes, and all of a sudden it becomes asr midaraisa. That is strange. Normally, when you soak something in something else, it absorbs the tam, and if it absorbs the tam, it's going to be asr. But by basar b'chalav dafka, when it's bishul, it's going to be okay. So for whatever reason, the Achronim deal with Rashi didn't quote the maskana of the Gemara. But the bottom line is, you're going to tell me tam ki ikar is not daoraisa by the rest of kala taru kula because I cannot learn from basar b'chalav since basar b'chalav is a chiddush. Well, if basar b'chalav is a chiddush, then it should be aser, even when there's such a tiny quantity of cheese that falls of milk that falls into your meat that it doesn't even give tam, because the whole chiddush, because you do have basar, you do have chalav. So why does the Mishnah say that we just read that if yatipas chalav falls into a chatichas basar, that if there's enough basar to be mevatel the tam of that chalav, we ignore the whole thing and the whole thing is mutter? So you have to say that the Isur Basar B'chalav is not a chiddush, that it all depends on tam, and that's why it only asks has been a sinas tam, just like the rest of Kala Tarukula. Meaning if the whole idea of Basar B'chalav is that it's separate and apart from the rest of Kala Tarukula, then there never should have been this idea of a sinas tam in the world of Basar B'chalav. It should be any Basar B'chalav together is also. Where do we get the idea of a sinas tam? We must get the idea of a sinas tam from the rest of Kalat Torah Kula, that we apply the principle that Nesinas Tam is going to Aser. Ah, so and just like by Basar B'chalav, Tam Ki Iker, that even if you remove the actual Mamashos, the Tam that remains is still going to be Aser, so too by Kalat Torah Kula, it's Aser Mida Oraisa. So Amar Le Rava says back to Abaye, no. Basar B'chalav is a Chiddush. You cannot learn Tam Ki Iker V'Shari Surim from Basar B'chalav. Why is it that if there's not enough Chalav to put Tam in the Basar, it's going to be Mutter? Not because of Kala Torah Kula, because Derech Bishul Asra Torah. Specifically, when it comes to Basar B'chalav, the Torah asers Derech Bishul. The Pasuk says, Lo Sevashel Kedi B'chalev Imo, but three times. And each time it says, Lo Sevashel. No one cooks something unless they plan, no one would put an ingredient into a dish that they're cooking unless they're planning on that ingredient contributing something to the dish. So you would never be mevashel something without a plan of Nesinas Tam. That's why Nesinas Tam matters by Basar B'chalav. It's not the same din as of Tam in the rest of Kala Torah Kula. By Basar B'chalav, it's simply because it's not the Derech Bishul when something doesn't give Tam. Now, Rava would hold the Tam Kikar B'Kala Torah Kula is only in Isser Midrabanan, Rashi points out. Tosos, however, says that even Rava's mode of the Tam Kikar is Midaraisa B'Kala Torah Kula, he just holds you don't derive it from Basar B'chalav, that there's got to be some other source. Meaning Rava's rejection of Abaye, the way Rashi understands, is total rejection. Tam Kikar B'Kala Torah Kula, Rava would say, only Dirabanan. But Tosos understands Rava's rejection of Abaye over here, not total rejection. Rejection of your source to say Tam Ki Iker B'Kala Torah Kula is Daraisa, but I agree in principle that Tam Ki Iker B'Kala Torah Kula is in fact Daraisa. So those are two ways of understanding the machlokas over here between Rava and Abaye. Now, where do we get the idea that Nesinas Tam B'Kala Torah Kula is Aser? I mean, the Gemara seems to have been making an assumption that Nesinas Tam B'Kala Torah Kula is going to ask for something. When something gives Tam into something else, it's going to ask for something. We were just trying to figure out if Tam Kiker, if after you remove the Mamashos, if it's still going to remain Aser. So we learned that, if you recall, from the Zra B'Shela of the Ayil Nazir, that even though it's Aser B'Achila L'Zarim, the Torah says that it gets cooked together with the Basara Ayil, even though the Basara Ayil is going to be eaten by Zarim. So the Tam does not Aser the Basar to Zarim because it doesn't have Kedei Nesinas Tam in all of the Basara Ayil. So you see that anything that's not Nosin Tam doesn't have the ability to Aser. That's the notion from Ayil Nazir. Okay, now says the Gemara, Amar Rav, when the Mishnah says that a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat and it has enough milk to give tam into that chaticha, that it's going to be aser, kivan shenasan tam b'chaticha, chaticha atzma nasas tevela. So Rav says you have to see something remarkable is going on here. A drop of milk falls onto a piece of meat. It now gives tam into that piece of meat. Now that entire piece of meat becomes a cheftza of basar b'chalav. That entire piece of meat becomes glat treif. The whole thing is a cheftza of basar b'chalav. Now, va'oseres kalachatichos kulan. Now that piece of meat will aser all of the other pieces of meat in the pot, even if there's way more than 60 times the other pieces of meat in the pot connected that one piece of meat. Why? Because that's a tarovus of min v'mino. You see, when you had chala fall into the original piece of meat, it had to give tam into that original piece of meat to cause problems, because that's min b'sheino mino. Chala is not the same as basar. So min b'sheino mino, shishim would be enough to be mivatel. If you don't have shishim, it's going to be aser. If you do have shishim, it's going to be mutter. But now that you have this piece of meat that is now a cheftza of basar b'chalav, now it could be mixed with 1,000 other pieces of meat. It will aser all of them, because min b'mino asers b'mashahu. Some of them are such a great Ravari Ravina Michti. Rav Kaman Amal Shmaite, who is Rav assuming like Rabbi Yehuda? That he's assuming like Rabbi Yehuda who holds Damar Min Bemino La Batil. That Min Bemino, in fact, does Aser B'Mashu, never becomes Batil. Lema Pligad the Rava, should we say that that's in disagreement with Rava? Da Amar Rava, because Rava had said about a week ago, Kasava Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Shehu Min Umino V'Davar Acher, Salek Esmino Kamisha Eno V'Sheino Mino Rava Alav Mavatlo. Let's say you have three things in the Tarovas. You have an item of Isser, and it's mixed in with a mino of Heter, and eino mino of heter. How do you do the math now? Do you say that, oh, the min bimino asers all the, you know, you have one piece of meat that's aser, other pieces of meat that are heter. Okay, those are all aser now, because that's the tarav of the min bimino. And then you look at the gravy, which is eino mino, and see if it's shishim, can I get all the meat? No, that's not what you do. You pretend that the one piece of meat that's aser, you pretend the other pieces of meat aren't there. Now look at the gravy corresponding to that one piece of aser meat. Does the gravy have enough to be mevatel that one piece of meat? If it does, then everything's going to be kosher. Just remove that one piece of meat, everything else is going to be kosher. If it doesn't, then you you have a problem. So you see that that's what Rava holds over here also. You have rotav and you have other chatichos. So even though the other chatichos are the same min as the chaticha of basar b'chalav, the rotav is not the same min. So the Mishnah that Rav was going on was talking about where there was a lot of rotav, enough to be mevatel the chaticha that was aser. Aye, but why should it aser all the chatichos? The chaticha that was aser already became batel in the rotav, and now shouldn't have the capacity to aser all the chatichos. You first look at the min and eino mino and see if you have bittel. So Amalei, Ravina says to Marzutra, Ede nafal barotav raka hachinani. You're right. If it were actually sitting in a sauce that is not at all the same as the meat, then you're right. That's min b'sheino mino, it would become batel, you wouldn't have a problem. Over here, it's sitting in a sauce that is made up of tiny pieces of basar, and therefore the entire thing is considered min basar. So there is no min umino visha'eno mino. No, it's all min bimino. So if it's all min bimino, then it's all going to aser. So says Maral, Micah Savar, what exactly does Rav hold when he says chaticha nasis nevela, that first chaticha that it fell on becomes a cheftza of iser? If he holds that when you're able to take the chaticha's heter that became usher from the blias iser and got cooked amongst the other chatichas, you're able to remove the tam that originally ushered that chaticha, you can then be matir that chaticha, because whatever iser that chaticha absorbed is now being evenly distributed throughout the rest of the pot. So let's imagine that some challah falls into the piece of meat, to that initial piece of meat, and there's not 60 times in that initial piece of meat to ushered the rest of it. But Efshel Sokhto Mutter would tell me, once I then cover the pot, mix the pot, that chalav that fell into that initial piece of meat is now being evenly dispersed throughout the entire pot. And therefore, as long as there's shishim in the entire pot connected to that chalav, it should be mutter. Well, then chaticha mainasas nevela. Then why is the original chaticha still going to be aser? I mean, if you hold Efshel Sokhto Mutter, that when you're able to extract the tam that caused the problem in the first place from the piece that it caused the problem in, that it's gonna be fine, so then why does that original piece remain a nevela? The Ron points out that it seems like we're just saying the same thing in different words. Efshel Sokhto Mutter is another way of saying ein chaticha nasas nevela. Chaticha nasas nevela is another way of saying Efshel Sokhto is aser. So you have to figure out exactly what kind of question this is. How could Rav say chaticha nasas nevela? What happened to Efshel Sokhto Mutter? No, he'll tell you Efshel Sokhto is aser. So Ela Kasavar, Efshel Sokhto aser. I mean, the Ron says like the kind of, it's difficult to understand what the Havamin is over here. Yeah, obviously he holds that even if you're able to extract the tam from the piece that it went into, it remains aser. The original piece remains aser. The Itmar, because it was the following conversation was shared. Rav Rabbi Chanin Rabbi Yochanan da Amri, Efshel Sokhto Aser. Rav is on the list of people that say Efshel Sokhto Aser. Ushmol Rabbi Shim Bar Rebbe Vreish Lakish da Amri, Efshel Sokhto Mutter. And another group of Amram held that Efshel Sokhto Mutter. But Rav holds Efshel Sokhto Aser, and that's why Rav explains our Mishnah that initial chaticha became a nevela, and now it asers everything else because it's min bimino. The Savar Rav Efshel Sokhto Aser, but wait. Does Rav really hold that when you can extract the original problematic tam, that it's still gonna remain aser, that original chaticha is gonna be aser? Voy itmar, but didn't we learn the following? Kazayis basar shenafal toch yora shel chalav. Let's say you have a kazayis of meat falls into a large pot of boiling milk, and the basar obviously absorbs tam of the milk. Amar Rav, basar asr chalav mutter. It's a kazayis of basa. The pot was gigantic. The pot of boiling milk was way more than 60 kazayisim of chalav. So the chalav is going to be mutter, because how much tam of basa could have been absorbed in the chalav? No more than a kazayis, right? So the chalav is going to be mutter. The basar, however, absorbed all of this milk into this little piece of basar, so that basar is going to be Aser. So why is Rav matir that chalav though? If Rav really holds efshel sakta aser, chalav am I mutter? Why should that chalav be mutter? Chalav nevelahu. The chalav should be nevela. What does this mean? Well, the Gemara is saying is as follows: that you put the meat goes into the milk. The meat immediately absorbs much of the milk flavor. The meat, while it's cooking, also extracts whatever's in it, including some of the newly absorbed milk flavor. So much of the milk came into the meat. Once it comes into the meat, it becomes in the meat. Then some of that milk goes back out of the meat and mixes with the rest of the milk. Ooh, now that some of that milk is going out of the meat, mixing with the rest of the milk, that's what we call min bimino. That should aser b'mashu. So if Rav really holds efshel l'softo aser, that it becomes a chefta shel iser, chaticha nasis nevela, whatever went into that meat becomes basa b'chalav and will always remain basa b'chalav. So when some of that milk, which is now basa b'chalav, goes back out into the rest of the milk, it should aser everything. So says Gemara, li'olam k'savarav efshel l'softo aser. He does hold efshel l'softo aser. Aye, why is that milk mutter? V'shayni asam damakra lo sevashel gedi b'chalav. Whoa! The Gemara suggests such a chiddush that when you cook basar b'chalav, only the meat becomes asr. The milk is mutter. It's all where you put the emphasis. Says Gemara, come on. Va'itmar chatzi zayis basar v'chatzi zayis chalav shebishlan ze im ze. Amarav lokal achilasav. You have a chatzi zayis of basar, chatzi zayis of chalav that are cooked together, and you eat the whole thing. You get malchus for eating it together. Why? Because both the basar and the chalav are asr. You don't just say that the basar becomes asr, the part that's basar is asr, and therefore you only eat a chatzi zayis. No, you get malchus. You eat a full kazayis, a basar b'chalav. Ve'en lokal bishul. Okay, that we're going to have to deal with. Why you don't get malchus for cooking them together? Ve'isalka, but we'll deal with that later. Ve'isalka daitach kidiyas retor velo chalav. You're going to tell me only the meat becomes asr and the milk remains mutter? Achila am I loka? Then why should you get malchus for eating this chatzi zayis basa that was cooked with chatzi zayis chalav, chatzi shiru? You only ate a chatzi shir because only the basa is asr, the chalav is mutter. Okay, so we scratch that havamina. We go back to what we always thought. That basar and chalav that are cooked together, both the basar and the chalav become basar b'chalav. Aye, why then, when the kazayis of basar falls into the giant pot of milk, does all of the milk not become asar from the chalav that went into the meat and then came back out of the meat? When it fell in, the pot was still boiling. That as long as the pot is still boiling, we assume that the basar can only take in milk. It cannot send the milk back out. It could be balea tam, but it won't send back tam of milk out. So, ask the Gemara, but still, kinayachad palat. When you turn the fire off, that's when the tam is going to start transferring back out and should aser everything. No, kishakadim basilko. You remove that piece of meat before you ever shut the fire off, before it ever stopped boiling. Ah, so if you remove the piece of meat before the pot ever stopped boiling, that piece of meat only had the ability to absorb milk and never had the ability to extract the milk back out into the meat. That's the assumption of how the physics of all of this works, that's the way everything happens. Says Mar Gufa. Okay, but let's go back to something we just mentioned. Chatzi zayis basav v'chatzi zayis chalav shebishlan zem zeh, amrav lokal l'chlasav en lokal bishulu. That if you cook a chatzi zayis with a chatzi zayis of basav with a chatzi zayis of chalav, you don't get malchus for cooking them together, but yes for eating them together. So manavshach, imit starfin, abishul nami lilki, and ilom it starfin, achil nami lo lilki. I don't get it. If they're mitzarev with each other, then you should be chayev for bishul. If they're not mitzarev with each other, you shouldn't be chayev for achila either. Says Mar Liyala lo mitzarefi. They're really not mitzarev with each other. Biba miyora gedola. That we're talking about that they were cooked in a larger pot first, and then you took a chatzi zayis of basar, chatzi zayis of chalav from what was a much larger mixture of basar b'chalav. Meaning, basar b'chalav cannot be created with the chatzi zayis of each. Basar b'chalav needs to be created with much more, but then you took an amount that equals chatzi zayis of basar, chatzi zayis of chalav from that larger yara, and that's the only reason that you're going to be chayiv for eating it. Says the Gemara, Levi Amar Aflo Kal Bishulo. No, you get malchus for cooking a chatzis ayis basar and a chatzis ayis chalav as well. V'chein tani Levi b'masnisin k'shem shaloka al achilaso kach loka al bishulo. That just like you get malchus for eating it, you also get malchus for the bishul. Ube'ezer bishul amru b'bishul shacherim ochtan also machlus bishulo. How much does it have to be cooked? Cooked enough that Goyim would eat it because they would say, yeah, this is cooked enough for me. Pashtus is the Ritva writes that what Rashi tries to tell you over here when he says this is that it means machal ben drusai. If it's cooked to barely edible, that's good enough to be in violation of the Isser of Bishul. Okay, but from tomorrow we're going to pick up with the further discussion of Efshal Lesochto, Aser, or Matar.